All bodies are beautiful, right? At least that's what we've been told. And over the past few years, this body positivity and anti-fat shaming movement has practically taken on a life of its own, to the point where questioning it, or God forbid, daring to point out that it's healthier to be thin, could even put you at risk of being canceled. And while on the surface, it might seem like celebrating all body types is the kind and inclusive thing to do, what if it's actually not? What if it's a message that is actually hurting us? I'm probably stepping into a landmine here, but it's a topic that I've been thinking about a lot lately. And that's why today I want to talk about it. So let's have the conversation. Welcome to the Ditch the Carbs podcast, brought to you by Thinlicious. I'm your host, Ruth Sukup, and here we'll talk about everything from the science of weight loss and metabolic flexibility to practical tips for making your health a priority in the midst of a very busy life. It's the perfect blend of insightful education, practical application, and good old-fashioned motivation. So buckle up, friend, because it's about to get real. Hey there, and welcome back to the Ditch the Carbs podcast. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ruth Sukup, and I'm the founder of Thinlicious and the creator of the Thin Adapted System, as well as the New York Times bestselling author of 7 books, as well as what I guess I would call a health enthusiast. Because after struggling with my own weight and my health for a very long time, literally years, I finally decided to start doing my own research to figure out the underlying reasons for why I was gaining weight in the first place and how I could do things differently. And ultimately, that's how I ended up creating the Thin Adapted System, which is the same system I used to lose 40 pounds and keep it off, and the system that has now helped thousands of women to do the same. And if this is your first time listening to the Ditch the Carbs podcast, then I'm just going to warn you right now that I can get pretty fired up about this stuff. Honestly, because I know firsthand just how life-changing it can be. And frankly, I am on a mission to change the world through helping women improve their health, because I believe in my heart of hearts that it is literally the foundation of everything else that we do. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And not only that, it makes me crazy that so much of what we've been told about what is healthy over the past 50 or 75 years is just flat out wrong. Not just a little bit wrong, but dangerously, devastatingly wrong. And we are seeing those effects in our society with more people than ever who are unhealthy and overweight, with skyrocketing levels of heart disease and cancer and Alzheimer's and type 2 diabetes and all these other super preventable diseases that can be directly attributed to this pack of lies that we have all been told for so long. And I'm just going to say this too. If you want to understand more about all these lies that we've been told and why they're so dangerous and how they've been keeping you sick and fat and unhealthy, then you should know that I have actually put together an in-depth on-demand training video that you can go and watch for free that's called How to Lose Weight and Get Healthy for Life Without Dieting, Drugs, or Making Yourself Miserable. And I'll tell you also that it's really good. But when I say that it is in-depth, I mean it. It's long, it's meaty, it's an investment of your time. It's over an hour, but it is totally worth the watch because it will seriously reframe the way that you approach your health. It really is eye-opening, and if this is an area of your life where you've been struggling, and that's why you're listening to this podcast right now, then it will be super helpful for you. And again, you can watch it absolutely free. My gift to you, just for listening to this podcast, all you have to do to access it is to go to thinlicious.com/video. So again, the URL for that free training is thinlicious.com/video. So definitely don't miss that. But today on this episode of the podcast, I want take a deeper dive into a topic that I know is probably going to get a little controversial. Basically, what I see as the dark side of body positivity. And honestly, I have been avoiding recording this. I'm going to be totally, totally real with you. I have been totally procrastinating recording this episode because I am nervous. I am a little nervous to actually talk about some of the thoughts that I've been having because I know this can be such a hot button issue, and I am probably going to get a lot of hate mail just for bringing it up. So I just want to start with some disclaimers, right? Let me start by clarifying that I do not believe in fat shaming, nor do I think that every woman needs to be a size 4 to be healthy or to be beautiful. Bodies come in all shapes and sizes and colors, and that is a beautiful thing and definitely something that should be celebrated. But what I have a problem with is the idea that we are supposed to embrace obesity as something that is totally normal and healthy and desirable. That's where I feel like body positivity crosses the line into toxicity, because that is a message that is literally killing us. And this is not figuratively, guys. This is literally killing us. The evidence is so stark that we are dying at higher rates than ever before from totally preventable diseases that are directly related to obesity. And so while I do think that the body positivity movement started out with some noble intentions, I think that it has been usurped and used as a manipulation tool by companies that don't have our best interests at heart. That's my gut instinct. And this could be pure speculation on my point. At my part, this could be just total conspiracy rabbit hole things, but I do feel like it started out as a good thing, right? It started out as something that could have been really, really great, but it's not. And so, because honestly, the more that I help people with losing weight and transforming their health, and the more that I read and research and dive into the science and the history of health and weight loss over the past 50 to 100 years, the more that I see the patterns of how much the food and drug industry has been influencing us behind the scenes in a way that I can only describe it as it feels sinister, right? I just feel like there's these dark forces at work. And the more I see it and the more I see those patterns, the deeper I go into all of this research, the more I feel like we have to talk about this. We have to shine a light on what's really going on. We have to create awareness, because it's only when you start to see it that you can change it. You have to wake up to what's actually going on and those dark forces that are out there actively campaigning to keep you sick and fat and unhealthy. And maybe right now you're like, oh my gosh, Ruth, what the heck are you talking about? Why would companies want to do that? Why would companies actually want to keep us sick and fat and unhealthy? Well, mostly because of money, right? It always comes down to money. Big food and big pharma both make a lot of money keeping us addicted to food, and they want us to stay addicted, right? And if the results of that addiction lead to a population that is fatter and sicker and more unhealthy than ever before, then what's the best way to keep people eating? Well, in my mind, it's tell them it's okay to be fat, right? That we should celebrate being fat, that we should celebrate obesity, that it's beautiful. Never mind the fact that you just don't feel good, or that you're at risk of heart disease and type 2 diabetes and metabolic syndrome, or that you're struggling with inflammation and autoimmune disorders and migraines and heartburn, or that your joints ache and that you have to have your knees replaced and your life is shrinking because you have to say no to so many things. But I'm probably getting a little bit ahead of myself. As you can probably tell, this is a topic that gets me a little bit fired up. But before we dive into all of the effects that this movement is having on our health, or even who's behind it all, let's just back up for a second, have a little history lesson, talk about how this all got started. So where did this body positivity movement come from? How did it start? Because, I mean, obviously it didn't just pop out of nowhere, right? And I did a little research, and it turns out that this body positivity movement that we see today actually has its roots in the feminist movement of the late 1960s and the early 1970s. And it kind of started as a way for women to reject what society was telling them they had to look like, that is that they had to be thin and fit and to fit into certain traditional beauty standards, and instead to celebrate their own unique beauty, whatever shape or size that may be. And like I said, that is a noble cause, right? That is definitely a noble cause. Unfortunately, like so many ideas and movements that start out with the best of intentions, this is now one that has been sort of taken to the extreme and is now almost being used as a marketing tool, because it didn't take very long for companies to jump on board with this idea, right? To co-opt it and use it to their advantage. And and maybe this is just me, but I feel like you can almost like hear them in the background going, hey, people are starting to worry that our unhealthy foods are making them fat, probably because they are, but I've got an idea. Let's get people to actually embrace the idea of being overweight. Let's make it cool and socially acceptable. Let's say anyone who doesn't embrace body positivity is a fat shamer. And that way, no one can ever speak up about it. And whether or not that's actually true, whether or not that actually happened, I don't know. But if you start to look at the pattern, it feels like that is the way that it has gone, right? That's the way that it has moved. So the first big company to really do this, right, to take on the corporate idea of body positivity was Dove. And you guys might remember this. In 2004, they released their Campaign for Real Beauty, which was really a huge success. And it really kicked off the body positivity movement into full swing. And it featured this diverse group of real women. They were wearing like white underwear, no makeup, just real beauty, right? That's what it was all about, real beauty. And you probably remember it because it was a huge deal. Everybody was talking about it. It was so brave, and the media embraced it. And not surprisingly, other companies seeing the massive success of Dove started jumping on that same body positivity bandwagon. And honestly, I think that was a movement that was easy to get behind. It was easy to be supportive of, especially as a woman. Because if you go back and look at those original Dove ads from 2004, they really are inspiring, especially because it was such a contrast to everything that we had been seeing in the media and advertising up to that point, right? This is early 2000s, and this is just on the heels of that supermodel culture of the 1990s, which was all about the Kate Moss, super skinny, heroin chick models. And, you know, they were is basically eating disorder central. I remember that so clearly because I was in high school at that time, and it was all about the super, super, super thin in the late 90s. So this in 2004 was hugely different. The kind of the pendulum's shifting in a different direction to something that was more positive and healthy and inclusive. And so how could we not want to support that? So this was a movement that started slowly and really started to take hold with that big campaign. But then, like so many things that start out good and positive and healthy, at some point, the movement shifted to the extreme, right? Where instead of celebrating all different bodies of a healthy weight versus the scary, super scary, skinny supermodels, it has slowly morphed into celebrating obesity. The women that are being featured are no longer of a healthy weight, but often what can only be classified as morbidly obese, like morbidly obese. In fact, there's a gal that's been in the news that was a Dove spokeswoman that is the person who's talking about the fat revolution and morbidly, morbidly obese. And the message that's being given is this is not only beautiful, this is healthy, and you can be healthy at any weight. And then anybody who disagrees with that is accused of fat shaming. And so in the 20 years since Dove first launched that campaign, it has become culturally unacceptable to say anything negative about being overweight. In fact, just using the words thin or skinny can actually open up waves of criticism as being fat phobic. And believe me, I have definitely experienced this since launching a brand called Thinlicious. I can't even tell you the number of angry messages that I have received from people demanding to know how dare I equate the word thin with being healthy. And there's really, honestly, there's no reasoning with the outrage. I've tried responding. It doesn't matter when I explain that the name Thinlicious is a combination of our program name, which is the Thin Adapted System, and the word delicious, because we believe that getting healthy should taste and feel good. Or when I try to explain that our science-based program is all about healing your body from the inside out and reversing insulin resistance and healing your gut and balancing your hormones, not about deprivation or trying to be skinny. None of that matters because now thin is a trigger word. But friends, I think that we are all being played, because I think that was exactly the result that the food companies were hoping for, right? Their goal was to turn something good, true body positivity, and a celebration of healthy bodies into a culture where it is okay to be fat and unhealthy. And I think that if a company wanted to make obesity socially acceptable, they would do exactly what Dove did, right? They would start slowly. They would start by planting the seed that we should celebrate real beauty. And then they would just keep pushing those boundaries a little bit at a time. I don't think it's actually accidental. So why would Dove want to kickstart a movement with the ultimate goal of creating a culture that celebrates obesity? Well, let's follow the money. Dove is actually owned by Unilever, which is one of the largest food companies in the world, including the largest manufacturer of ice cream in the world. It owns hundreds of brands, most of which are household names, and many that you would find in your pantry right now. And Unilever, if you didn't know this, is one of the 10 food companies in the world that combine to control almost every single food item that you buy. Did you know that? That there are only 10 food companies in the world that control almost 100% of the food that is sold in the grocery stores. And so when you go to the grocery store, you think you're getting variety, but the truth is that there are only 10 companies that almost all of those items on the shelves are owned by. And these are the same companies that literally hire scientists to figure out how to make their food as addictive as possible so that you will eat as much of it as possible. Those are the same companies, right? There's only a few of them. They are literally hiring scientists by the bucket loads to make their chips tastier and crunchier and the texture a little bit better, and to put the right chemicals in your food so that it becomes as addictive as possible. Are you telling me that those companies that will hire scientists to make their food as addictive as possible wouldn't also try to come up with other ways to make you want to eat more? These are the same companies that fund fake research studies to come up with the results that are going to help them sell more unhealthy food, like the Framingham study, which was funded by the sugar industry. It is well documented. Go look it up. It blamed heart disease and high cholesterol on saturated fat and basically created a boon in highly processed margarine and vegetable oil for the food companies, right? They realized years ago, this was in the 1960s, they realized that sugar was bad for us, that it was terrible for us, that it was causing all of the things that I talk about on this podcast all day long. The reason this podcast is called Ditch the Carbs, right? Ditch the sugar, ditch the carbs. The experts have known for years and years and years that sugar is bad and that carbohydrates are making you sick and fat and unhealthy, that they are causing insulin resistance, that they are causing leaky gut, they are causing all of these things. All of these modern diseases, all of these companies know about it. And they literally have funded fake studies that they are controlling and that they are funding so that we look the other way, right? We look at something else. And so if you've been told that fat is bad, it's because of that study. It is because, and that is what is taught now in schools. That is what's taught in medical schools. That's why your doctor tells you the same thing, because he or she is being given the wrong information. Suffice to say, I just don't think that these companies have our best interests at heart, right? So maybe this body positivity thing started out as a noble thing. Maybe there was nothing nefarious about it. I don't know, but I wouldn't put it past them. That's all I have to say about it, that I wouldn't put it past them. But at the end of the day, honestly, it doesn't really matter, right? Whether it was a deep, dark conspiracy, because I definitely just went down a rabbit hole here, or maybe just an effective marketing idea that evolved into something more, it doesn't actually matter because the result has been the same either way. It has brought us to where we are right now with a body positivity movement that no longer celebrates health, but instead celebrates obesity. And that is where I have the issue, because right now our society is facing some pretty big ramifications from this. The worldwide obesity rate has almost doubled since 1980, and it continues to rise. Currently in the United States, 41% of adults and 19.4% of children are considered obese. That means 2 out of 5 adults and 1 in 5 kids. And that is a huge increase from 2004, when only 31% of adults in the United States were classified as overweight, right? It was already a problem in 2004, and now it has gotten that much worse in just a short amount of time. All this body positivity has only made us fatter. But I think what really scares me is how this movement is affecting kids and the next generation, because they're now the ones who have grown up only hearing all of this body positivity stuff, right? It's all they know. And according to the research, this has definitely had an impact. A recent study by Cancer Research UK found that 40% of teenagers who are considered obese say that they are totally happy with their weight and they don't feel that they need to lose any weight. And look, I am a mom to 2 teenage girls, and I am acutely aware of how devastating it can be to have body image issues at this age, right? It's one of the biggest reasons that when I finally decided to get serious about losing weight and improving my health, that I knew I had to do it in a healthy, sustainable way, because I never wanted my girls to see me restricting calories or depriving myself in some way or being on a diet. I wanted them to be able to eat the same food that I was eating, healthy, delicious, nutrient-dense, and nourishing food. So I think that there is a delicate balance here, right? We have to think through that. But 40% of teenagers who are classified as obese are saying they are totally happy with what they weigh. And what they don't know is that they're being told that that's okay. They're not being told that they're being set up for a lifetime of pain, a lifetime of sickness, a lifetime of not being able to do the things that they want to do. They're setting themselves up for early death because they are obese right now. They are setting themselves up for something, and they think that's fine because society is telling them that it's great, that we should be celebrating it. So again, there's nuance, and I think that there really is a delicate balance, but at the end of the day, we have to celebrate health and healthy bodies, but stop glorifying obesity. Because the hard truth is that being fat just isn't healthy. It's not. And we can talk about fat shaming and body positivity all day long, but the reality is that the numbers don't lie, and the evidence is very stark. And let me clarify again, because again, I'm not talking about just being curvy or being a little heavier than you'd like to be. Healthy bodies do come in many shapes and sizes. And again, we should celebrate that. Not everyone needs to be a size 4. Not everyone should be a size 4, but everyone should have the energy and stamina to run up a flight of stairs without getting winded. Everyone should be able to make it through the day without needing a nap. Everyone should be able to get on the floor and play with their kids or grandkids without worrying that they won't be able to get up again. No one should have to struggle with heartburn or indigestion after every meal. No one should have to suffer with type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure or heart disease. No one should feel chronically inflamed or have to struggle with autoimmune conditions that are easily preventable. And all of those are issues directly associated with being overweight, having a BMI over 25, or obese, which means having a BMI over 30. So let's just get real for a minute about the health risks you face as an obese person, right? First, Obesity increases your risk of developing heart disease by up to 73%. It also increases your risk of type 2 diabetes by up to 90% and your risk of stroke by up to 50%. And that's because all three of these conditions are directly associated with obesity. And those are just the big three. Being obese also puts you at higher risk for developing high blood pressure, depression, kidney disease, sleep apnea, cancer, and so much more. Plus, when you are obese or overweight, it is virtually guaranteed that you have some form of insulin resistance and leaky gut syndrome. And that means you're probably also dealing with everything from heartburn and inflammation to digestive issues, skin issues, chronic pain, chronic fatigue, and autoimmune disorder. And then there's the fact that as your weight increases, so does your risk of an early death. So bottom line, there is nothing positive about obesity. Let's stop lying to ourselves about it. At the end of the day, I really do think that it all comes down to this. We have to find a way to balance loving ourselves with good health. And honestly, to me, that means loving yourself enough to actually get healthy. It's not really about being thin. It's not really about being fat either. It's about being healthy enough to live your best life. It's about healing your body from the inside out so that it functions the way that it was designed to. It's about having the energy to do the things that you want to do. It's about reversing insulin resistance and healing your gut and balancing your hormones so that you can feel better. And it makes me angry, frankly. It makes me angry that we live in a society that has normalized poor health. It makes me angry that we think it's totally okay to take medication for every symptom while we ignore all the root causes of what got us here in the first place. It makes me angry that we think aging needs to be synonymous with aches and pains and going to the doctor all the time. And it makes me angry that so many of us are having what should be and what could be our best years stolen from us because we just don't feel good. Because there truly is a better way to live. So bottom line, we can and should celebrate healthy bodies in all shapes and sizes. But let's be real and let's be honest about what healthy actually looks like. It's feeling your best. It's having more energy. It's being free from medication. It's not getting sick all the time. It's having skin that glows. It is no more aches and pains. And you know what else? Maybe you're listening to this right now, and maybe it is your first time listening to this podcast, and you're thinking, well, probably number one, you're thinking that I'm a little bit crazy, which I might be. I promise you, not every episode is a conspiracy theory episode. But maybe you're also thinking, oh, sure, that's great for you to say, Ruth. It's great for you to say that there is a better way to live and that this is all possible, but it's not. I've tried it. It's impossible. Maybe you're thinking, yep, well, I've tried to lose weight and get healthy and nothing works. And maybe you're thinking, I've done all the exercise and I've tried all the diets and here I am. I might as well embrace body positivity. And you know what else? I get it. I totally get it because I have 100% been there too. It is why I am so incredibly passionate about this topic because I know exactly how it feels on the other side, not feeling good and wishing you had a solution and feeling like it's impossible. But there is actually a solution, and it's pretty simple. And so I encourage you to keep listening to this podcast and to go back and listen to some of the previous episodes, starting with the 5 simple changes that I made to lose 40 pounds and keep it off, and then going from there. There's so much goodness and so much richness in so many of these episodes. Educate yourself. Learn more about the science. Learn and understand the root causes of why we gain weight in the first place. And then if you want to go deeper, go watch that free training that I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, How to Lose Weight and Keep It Off for Life Without Dieting, Without Drugs, and Without Making Yourself Miserable. Because it will walk you through the science and help you understand why nothing that you've tried until now has actually worked. And it is free, totally free. Just go to thinlicious.com/video to get access. Okay, friends. I know that was a lot of tangents today, but if you did find this episode helpful, if you agreed with me, or even if you disagreed, then do me a huge favor and share it with anyone you think it would find it useful. I really, truly I said this at the beginning, I am on a mission to change the world by helping people get healthy. And I would love to have you join me in that cause. Together we can do it, right? But we have to let people know what's actually going on. So I will see you back here very soon for another new episode.